Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Today's episode is brought to you by Geico, because Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? And we all know the answer. Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with the homeowner's condo or renter's coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. In fact, how easy is it, Gio?
Well, Chris, it's Geico easy.
It certainly is. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. Hello and welcome to Corolla Classics for August 13th, 2022. You know how the show goes. We're going to play highlights of the Adam Carolla Show's history for you. My name's Chris Loxamana. I am the executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday. We got a killer set of clips lined up for you.
I know. I'm pumped, as usual. So, Adam, he's always really infatuated by stories about neighbors. I don't know why. I've told him about some of my neighbor stories. He always wants me to tell him on air. And he likes to hear bad neighbor stories. And back in 2015, we had a caller named Maggie who called in from Cleveland. This was an ACE Award nominee, where she's kind of describing some of her neighbors that are making her a little nervous.
Not for any specific reason. She does have an impression of one of them, and she pre-apologizes for said impression. Adam Carolla Show 1520, Sam Jones, Matt Atchity, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. This one's from February of 2015. ACE Awards nominee, caller Maggie. Check it out.
Maggie, 23, Cleveland.
Hello?
What's going on? Can you hear me?
Hello, me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They're mine.
Yeah, what's going on, Maggie?
Hey, Hey, first of all, congratulations on Road Hard. My friend Dario already have it. We have it pre-ordered and Mangria on the way to Cleveland, so thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so thank God you took my call. I was panicking. So I live in the west side of Cleveland right now. And I have these terrible neighbors upstairs. So to give you a little background, about 2 weeks ago, I pull up and we have a security door on the front of our building that you need a key to actually get into the building to get to our doors. This is going to be like the worst reenactment ever. But so I walk up and the guy's like, "Oh, man, thank God you here. I got some chemicals cooking on the stove, man. I got to get up to my apartment before it blows up." Now, me...
You live in an acidic neighborhood?
Yeah, that's juice.
Yeah, I live in a really super safe neighborhood. The rest of my family lives in Alabama, so I'm the only one up here, sadly. But
Was the guy who was keeping the chicks in the basement...
That was Cleveland.
That was Cleveland. That guy killed himself, right?
Cleveland, yeah.
Is that an attic or a basement?
Yeah. Basement.
Okay.
Attic's bad. It's thin. They can fall through. Yeah. They make a lot. I mean, what do I know?
They could signal to neighbors.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah. Not good. There's dormer vents.
Yeah, so
I had the thing shining her earrings at the chick. Guy noticed that walking his dog. Anyway. Didn't that guy kill himself in prison?
Yes. Ariel.
Yeah.
Okay. Megan, yeah, do you know him?
Yeah.
You know that? You ever chill?
Neighbor yours?
Thankfully, I do not. But I've met one of the girls. We did karaoke together one night.
Oh no!
Wow! What'd she say?
One of the survivors from the house.
No, I get it. They don't let the guy out on furlough to do karaoke.
Was this before or after they discovered them? Because that'd be very awkward if you did it before.
Yeah, it was not before. I'm only 23, so before was like, 14 years ago. So I wasn't even old enough to get.
All right, I'm going to make guesses. Mm. I'll guess the song she didn't do. Walking on Sunshine? That'd probably be the top of my my list. Xanadu might be.
Princes was probably not sung.
Probably not sung. What song did she do? Do you remember?
What song did she do? I did Paul Revere by Beastie Boys, and then she went up and did Intergalactic. And then she sang...
That was going to be my third guess.
We shared our love of Beastie Boys, so it was a really good moment. It was a good bonding experience.
Now, let me just get this straight. First off, we can all agree that the monster who was keeping the gals in the basement as a sex slave, who killed himself in prison a year ago, that's a good thing? Because... Sure. We don't have to hear in Gina Grad's news that he's got a calendar coming out, or that he's been offered a lucrative book deal, or that there's been some marriage proposals and he's accepted one of them, or the trial is coming up and he's going to go up there and say that one of the chicks was asking for it. It's just done. He's a monster.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. And we don't even really think about him anymore, right?
I
can't even remember his name.
Even know when he hung himself or hanged himself. I can never remember how. It should be hung, but
it's when hanged, he hanged. I think.
Yes, yeah. When he hanged himself. I don't even remember when that was. That's good news. Huh. That's the Tim McVeigh way.
Maggie, do you still see this girl out karaokeing?
She goes out a lot, actually. What's sad is when she was up there, poor nutrition really like stunted her growth, so she isn't a midget, but she's very small. She's probably about 4'10".
Wow.
I would say she's super sweet, super cute. She's very recognizable, and she has a lot of friends. Like, she goes out all the time, so it's good to see her out and about.
I'm gonna invite her out when I come out next to play the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
Hey, we would love for you to come to Cleveland. We are dying over here.
I'm just being a dick.
Yeah, that's true.
Dying if they're chained up in a basement.
Jesus Christ. All right, Meg. Well, look, Meg, the good news is there's plenty of stand-up in Road Hard, so you'll get to see some.
That's the good news. Stand-up.
That's the good news.
Good. It's not funny enough, we have Mangria to keep us entertained.
Yeah. Lube yourself up with some Mangria first, and then watch Road Hard.
And even if it's horrible, it won't be the worst thing that's happened to that girl.
No, I'm not saying
her. We love the hammer, so it was really great.
Well, laughter is the best medicine, isn't it?
It certainly is, yes.
All right.
It's So the meth heads.
I'm sorry. What was going on? The Jews were cooking up the rocks. Yeah.
Yeah, the crackhead neighbors.
Mm-hmm. What'd the guy sound like again?
Oh, you want me to do it again?
I do.
It's been pretty terrible. All right, let me. Can you hear me? All right. Hey, thank God you here, man. I got some chemicals cooking on the stove, man. I got to get up to my apartment before they explode. Now, I'm not going to say the race of this man, but.
Understood.
I'm not going to say that
math.
He's, you know.
Asian. We did it. Now. here's my advice. You want to know the best way to deal with unruly neighbors. There is no way to deal. In my vast experience with the unruly, I've had many conversations with many of the unruly. I was born and bred with unruly people, and I've had many a sort of voice of, you know, sober voice of reason with these guys, and they ended up never, ever listening. And by the way, the unruly start listening a few years after they're incarcerated or they've lost a friend in a van fire or the prostate is blown up. Like, at some point when the salt and pepper starts coming in around the temples, then they'll listen. They don't listen when they're 27. I've had many, many conversations mm-hmm. with the unruly.
Well, and also, I feel like she's underselling the neighbors. It's not like they're doing P90X too loud and stomping on the floor. They're
right.
Crackheads.
Well, yes.
They're going to explode the building.
She said they were making chemicals on the stove. That could have been a roux or gumbo. I mean, there's a lot of chemicals.
Yeah, right. Sorry, my mistake.
That's what I call it when
Ryan.
I'm cooking.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, I get early.
So, Maggie.
He isn't the problem. That's the thing.
My advice to everybody who has the unruly or dangerous neighbors, move the fuck out. Just move out.
And no, he isn't the problem. It's his woman upstairs who I think is like the drug lord and yelled at her mule all
now,
night.
What does she sound like?
I can hear them like verbatim through my walls, and I can hear them having sex too while it's very disturbing. But she's more like a high pitched, like, I know you guys ain't trustworthy, so I know you guys are running these streets and you taking my drugs and you selling them for honor and you keeping your own money. And I'm like, oh my God, these people are going to come up here and like blow her up. Like, she's like this like woman screaming at these probably young men who are, you know, running.
Yeah. All right, Maggie, look, I want you to do something. If you can, track down your biological dad, kick him in the nuts for me. All right? What part of Florida is he living in?
What?
What part of Florida is biological dad living in?
No shit, he lives in Naples.
Oh, Christ.
So thank you for that. That's very nice.
Wow. How did I get so lucky with my guesses?
It's amazing. You had 1 in 50 chance of nailing the state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
All right. When's the last time you guys hung out?
When I was 7.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wait, you can't judge. Hey, listen. As the good folks at HuffPo would point out to me, there are plenty of examples mm-hmm. of young women who are neglected by dads and haven't seen them in 15 years and live in Florida who've turned out just fine.
Mm, true.
Okay.
What if the gap just wasn't?
Problem solved. Okay. You've shown me an example where it turned out right. You show me the one example where the chick went to Stanford, and I show you the 10 million examples where the chick went to Skid Row. Mm-hmm. But you want to keep talking about the one example where the chick went
right,
to Stanford.
Right. But Maggie right. needs to move.
Good. So that's a good,
yeah,
that's a good way to approach.
Yeah, I have a good job.
Yeah, the problems of life right. should be approached that way.
Yeah, the single example.
Okay, that's a good example. That's a great point.
Hurry it up, Maggie. I have to get to recline,
Maggie. All right, Maggie, you should move out.
Yes.
You move out. Are you having issues with dudes?
Dating's not that good of a thing for me in Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah. Again, dad. And now, do you have any contact at all with him?
Last I heard, he was, I don't like want to get softer, but he's actually very sick, and now he's trying to reach out and get in touch with me. And. Huh.
Mm-hmm. It's never good when that starts out with last I heard.
Yeah. Hey, Maggie?
Yeah.
Don't forgive him. Don't tell him it's okay. He can pass away peacefully now. Tell him he made his fucking bed. now he can shit in it when he loses control of his bowels from whatever horrible disease is rightfully eating his body. Mm-hmm. Okay?
I seriously appreciate that. That's like, I needed somebody to, like,
you don't need any closure with a guy you never had a fucking opening with.
Yeah.
This fucking thing where, hey, we need closure. With who? The guy I don't know? Fuck him. He's dead, hopefully dead to you, and he'll be dead to us soon. Mm-hmm. And then the world will be a little bit better place.
Yeah, marginally, but a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit better time in Naples. All right, Maggie?
Well, thanks, Ace Man. Looking forward to Roadhog. Thank
your
you so
revenge
much.
Is going to be a very successful life.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I just graduated college in December, so I'm really looking forward to
good.
The future. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, but move out of that apartment.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, everyone makes such a fucking big deal about the closure and the this and the that and the other. Look, this guy doesn't deserve your fucking time. I have a daughter, and she's 1 year older than Maggie was the last time she saw this guy or her biological. I couldn't imagine that. I mean, I
fantasize about it.
It'd be really, nice. Yeah, really moving to Florida. Yeah. Younger chick.
That's right.
I couldn't imagine the psychological toll it would take upon her. I had a beautiful sort of heart-to-heart with her the other day, and she just, it's like single tear sort of thing. I was telling Dr. Drew about it, but I don't think I was telling you guys about it.
Remember.
She wanted to have her ears pierced, and I was explaining to her that I know you're going to get your ears pierced, and I know the aesthetic thing is going to be a big part of your life, and I can't help it, but I don't want it to be. I know it's going to be a part. Let's not make it a big part. And she was just I was sitting on the end of the bed, and she was just standing there, just looking at me, and I said, "You got great stuff going on. You're a fucking firecracker. She's strong. She's dynamic. She's got great balance. She's got this great physicality. She's smart. She really excels at things." And I said, "I want you to be the person that's the doctor, the lawyer, the whatever, that we're focused. Don't get mired in the physical part. Yes, you're going to get you'll get your ears pierced, and you're going to brush your hair and put on a little makeup before you leave the house, but let's not make it your life." And she's attractive, and she's going to be an attractive woman. And I said, "You're going to get steered in that direction. I don't want that for you. It's fine. Spend a half hour before you leave the house, but don't spend 2 hours before you leave the house. You're not going to escape it. It's all over us. It's every princess movie and everything in society. But you're dynamic." And she said, "What's dynamic mean?" And I said, "Wow, you're strong and you're interesting and you're smart and you can go out and do so much more. I just don't want this to be." And she was just standing in front of me, and she said, "One tear just go down her left cheek." It was just like real crazy moment I had with her, but I hope
another couple of years kept her off the pole.
That's right.
And you got to her, clearly.
I hope the one tear meant she felt what I felt and knew what I was saying.
Or maybe
saying.
It just meant he's saying no.
I wanted, or maybe it was code. I want a earring in my left ear.
That's right.
And in that 8 minutes with Maggie, it sounds like you were more of a father figure to her than her biological father.
Fucking guys, they can go fuck themselves. I used to kind of be a little more accepting of it, but once you have kids, no fucking way. No fucking way. These guys don't act. They don't. And by the way, their past, like, "Oh, he didn't know his dad." Fuck you.
Break the cycle.
Okay, good.
Good choice.
Okay, what if his dad was an arsonist? Mm-hmm. Fine. Let him just burn down the fucking house. No, not an excuse. He should know that much better the pain of growing up without a parent. All right. We will take ourselves a break. Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. RottenTomatoes.com is where you go. That's fun. Go there, check out the movies, check out the critics and the top critics, and the website, again, RottenTomatoes.com, the website and the game. That can only be found here, my friends. I love that. Also, what about, where do you want people to go? The TV show?
With the podcast. Also, for those people that are in Los Angeles, we will be at Long Beach Comic Con this weekend doing our panel called Your Opinion Sucks, critics versus fans.
It's super fun.
Fans line up. They argue with critics. They talk about a movie that they love for a minute, and a critic tells them they're stupid. It's awesome.
Oh, you loved Boyhood, right?
I did not love Boyhood.
Oh, good. You're back in the realm of intelligence.
Yeah, no, I hated
was long
who that kid
and
became.
Sucked. Yeah, I didn't like who he became, yeah. And I didn't like the movie. I just thought, look, as I said to Brian, remove the hook part, and maybe you can't, but remove the super interesting part, I guess, where you spent 12 years making a movie and just look at it as a movie. Boring. And yeah, I mean, like him either.
It's kind of interesting watching someone literally grow up in front of you.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
It's interesting.
But
yeah, it's interesting. Like watching someone parasail or something. Yeah, Whiplash. Yeah, but the kid turned out to be a piece of shit, right? I was just like,
yeah, I don't know.
Did you like the kid? At the end of the movie, yeah.
Yeah, Whiplash is the better movie. Yeah,
oh, much better. All right, take a quick break. Be right back after this.
And that was an ACE Award nominee from 2015. Thank you, Maggie, for calling in. Call back again. Let us know. Give us an update on what's going on with you.
If she's still alive.
She's still alive. All right.
He put her in a wall.
Yeah.
And going back to Adam and his obsession with roommates, I think it's like a form of PTSD from all the years he had them, including maybe his parents too, kind of the worst roommates he could have ever had. And then all the crappy roommates he had in the apartments and stuff. And then even into being in the house when he got his big break with Ralph Garman and other guys, there was things like used condoms left inside the pockets of the pool table. Or like one guy, Ralph Garman, said that he would get the big bedroom, but he would clean the pool. I believe, and then he never cleaned the pool, and it was just filled with sludge.
Classic. I love all the classic roommate stories, too. All right, well, speaking of classic stuff, we're gonna go to another classic call, but this is Adam referencing a Loveline reunion bogus phone call from 2009.
It's Adam Carolla show episode 62. The guest was Scott Monty. He was the head of like Ford's early hybrid electronic division with like the Fusion hybrid and stuff like that. They're talking lots of stuff about podcast technology and getting, you know, cell signals into your deck of your radio as opposed to just it's in your phone, dude. We don't need any of that. But it was still in that weird phase where people were like trying to figure out how to make podcast radio. Pretty solid interview. At the end of the interview, Adam was co-hosting Loveline that entire week. In 2009, a great series of episodes, kind of his big comeback as opposed to being a guest on the show, actually, you know, co-hosting the thing that made him famous. And they had a caller who called in with a interesting setup for them, a little bit of a bogus call, and they fell for it. And Adam explains it at the top of this clip, and they go ahead and play it. Hope you guys enjoy Adam Carolla Show 62, May of 2009.
Now, moving on to the second part of the show, I did Loveline with Dr. Drew doing a reunion week, if you will, and we got a call from a young gal named Sarah later on in the show, probably about 11:30, 11:45, and she BS'd us, and we bought it. And I must say, Dr. Drew's got a pretty good sniffer for the BS, and so do I, although maybe I'm a little bit rusty. But either way, she was amazing, and we thought, if you didn't hear it, you should definitely hear it today. This is from last week on Loveline.
Woo! Let's do this, Drew. What are we taking, 2.5 calls?
Let's try one more here. How about Sarah? What's up, Sarah?
Oh, my God. Hello.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
Yeah, Adam and I almost got killed in Austin once. Do you remember that? We were in that huge volleyball stadium, and they go, Adam and Drew will be signing autographs over here, and there's boom.
Oh, you're calling from Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that. I don't remember the stampede part, but yeah, I remember playing Austin. What's happening, Sarah?
Well, this is so embarrassing. I went to the doctor today, and he told me that I have an anal fissure.
Yeah, I expect to see lots more of that with everyone's anal sex stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what causes it?
It could. I mean, it's one of the potential problems with anal sex. Are you engaging in that?
Well, occasionally, but it never hurts or anything. It always feels fine. Mm-hmm. I really didn't think that was the problem, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what does it.
How does it do it?
It just tears.
It fissures. It actually tears. Like,
like,
tear. I mean, sort of when seismologists talk about fissures, like the same thing, like a crack in the earth.
Yeah, but a similar phenomenon would be, you know, your cracks inside of your mouth sometimes. You ever had that, the trouble healing here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the same thing, but it's in your anus.
Yeah, that's why I stay away from I stay away from the girthy guys so I don't get the crack inside of the mouth.
Yeah. Was that her smoke detector?
I heard something.
What? Hello?
Was that a smoke detector?
What?
Okay.
All good smoke detectors start off. All good smoke detector calls start off that way.
Yeah. What? Huh? What are you talking about? Like, there's probably one in this house.
Are you in a room that has a smoke detector?
Yeah. I'm sitting actually kind of right by it.
Yeah, we heard it.
No.
In about, it was pretty, there it is.
There it is. All right, let's time it. Let me mark the time.
T minus 30 seconds and counting.
I'm delighted.
35 seconds.
Stand under the smoke detector, please, Sarah. Okay. I know from doing this show that it's somewhere between like 27 and 33 seconds. There must be some code, you know, OSHA or something must have some sort of code. It won at 155, so it's coming up. Let's
in about 8 seconds.
All right. See if we can time it.
You buy it, Sarah? There it is.
There it is. I just marked it at 29.
Yeah.
So that one at, hold on, that one at 225 on our clock?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So
29 seconds.
So we have another one coming at 54?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Oh, my God.
Now let's see if I can time this.
Yeah.
So 254, Drew?
I think that's right. So you got about 8 seconds.
All right. Let's see.
Oh.
A little early. All right, that's one went at 51.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with timing. All right, so wait a minute. That went a little early, so we're probably like 26, 27 seconds.
Yeah.
That one went at 51.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be going at like 18.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if I can time it. Quiet. Three, two, one, go.
What the hell?
It's intermittent. Drew.
No, wait, just one thing.
Have you stepped out of the room, Sarah?
I'm standing right by it.
What happened? Did it go off?
Yeah. You can't hear it?
We didn't hear it.
I talked over it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, we got somewhere. This is a fast one.
Yeah, it's going to go right about now again. Here you go. Shh. Okay, there we go. Vindication. Thank you.
Sorry.
Now...
Never noticed it. Like, I know it was going off when we moved in.
Sure, there's a...
Going off when you moved in. When you moved in. How many years ago did you move in?
Oh, it was like 2 months ago. It wasn't years ago.
Hold on, Drew.
After a while, you don't hear it anymore.
I know.
That's what's freaking us out.
Yeah, I think it's actually... My friends have timed it before, and it's like... I think it's actually like 47 seconds.
Now, let's just...
It's not 47 26. Seconds.
We got
it's in the 20s.
But hang on. Let's just reflect upon this for a second. A, she lives with that thing going off. We're 2,000 miles away. It bugs us. We can't live with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
She lives with that thing going off 24/7. Like a lizard learns to live with it. But... Yay, there are other friends that will gather and make note of said instrument. And nobody goes, I'll run down to the 7-Eleven and get a battery.
Okay, let me explain something. No, put her on hold, because I've not nearly begun this rant.
I figured.
People's ability or inability to accept things and ability to tune things out is endless and abundant. It's unbelievable.
Wonder what we tune out, all of us tune out, that's in our sort of background all the time.
Were you talking?
I'm sorry. Beg your pardon.
I saw your mouth move.
Beg your pardon.
Something come out? Okay. There is UL, Underwriters Laboratory, and they have rules. The Underwriters Laboratory, you understand, you can't just come out with a toaster, and I can't just invent a microwave. Mm-hmm. It needs to be tested by the man.
Yeah.
Because we need to make sure it's not going to start a fire, that you're not going to be shocked when you plug it in, that your toast is not going to pop out and hit the ceiling in flames.
So you get a UL number.
You get a UL number.
Yeah.
Underwriters Laboratory.
Yeah.
Now, if it's going in your house, it needs to go through this process. It's not like, hey, what do you got? I got a knockoff smoke detector. It's made in Guadalajara, and I sell them on the corner. No, 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 no. They must go to the Underwriters Laboratory and be extensively tested.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
One of the things they do is they go, when it's low on battery, it must have a chirp. And that chirp must be good for X amount of decibels so that nobody, no human being who's occupying the area that the smoke detector in, it must be, it's such a decibel that the human being would be compelled to change the battery almost immediately. Just like I'm sure horns in boats and horns in cars and horns and sirens must reach a certain decibel level, otherwise they're ineffective.
By the way, I was awakened morning, probably 2 weeks ago, by said smoke detector chirp, three rooms away from my bedroom.
Right.
And it drove me so crazy. Before I got to brush my teeth, I had to go change the thing.
So the Underwriters Laboratory says it's going to have to be 33 decibels, and it must be in a period no less than once every 40 seconds or once every 28 seconds. And those are the laws. And the man signed off on that. Well, there's not a human being alive that wouldn't change this 9-volt battery post haste. But somehow,
yeah,
the Underwriters Laboratory could not account for how goddamn dumb we are. Even they who put warning labels on everything, and you know, all when you see a commercial for a car and it's just driving through the desert, it's just driving down the highway to Nevada. It's a minivan. It's going in a straight line down the 10. It says, "Do not attempt, stunt driver, special vehicle." What? We can't attempt to drive our vehicle? Even when they're going on a goddamn straight line. Just a straight line driving through Henderson. It says, do not attempt. Closed course. Professional driver. Really? I'm supposed to buy your Odyssey minivan and not attempt to drive it?
That's great.
What shall I do?
Not in the desert.
Shall I push it back from the dealership? Well, I'm going to save a lot on gas. I'll tell you that right now. But I'm going to have trouble getting the kids to school because I, at some point, I'm going to need to actually get behind the wheel of this thing and attempt to drive it. Do not attempt. I understand when the guy's going over the waterfall and the Fiat, they do the do not attempt thing. But I like it when it's just been distilled down to the guy literally just driving the car. Do not attempt.
Adam,
so this is the society. This is the society we've constructed for ourselves. And somehow we have confounded these people because they did not count on Sarah. They did not count on the anal queen that's able to drown out the sound of the smoke detector. Now I must know. I must delve deeper.
Sat around, timed it, and talked it. And nobody fixed it.
Put her back on hold. Oh. Let me explain the problem with smoke detectors and women. Women do not know how to reach things that are beyond their grasp. Chimpanzees can figure this out. When you take a goddamn banana and you hang it from a string on the ceiling of a chimpanzee cage, the chimpanzees will pile up boxes and one of them will go up and get the banana. Women would stand there and stare at the banana. You could put an A-frame ladder right next to them, would not get on it. Do you know how many guys die every year falling off ladders?
Yeah.
It's into the thousands. Hundreds of thousands. Joel McHale, our beloved McHale. Dad fell off a ladder, shattered.
Artie Lang's dad got quadriplegic that way.
Half of every guy you've ever met at some point will be cleaning out some gutters in his 60s and take a spill off a ladder.
So who's
and
the foolish one here? Women or men?
Millions
What's
of men.
What's the point?
Here's why we get paid more than you. Because not a one of you has ever fallen off a ladder and gotten hurt. Because you've never been on a ladder. So chicks just stand there and they stare at the smoke detector and they can't get to it. Because even though we chimp understands that they could slide a desk chair on over there and step on that, women just stare at it. Once in a while, you'll get a really smart chick that will hit it with a mop handle, try to knock it down. So it's out of their reach, and they physically won't do anything about it. So they just live with it. Now put Sarah back up. Sarah.
Yes?
Admit that it's you can't reach it, and that's why you've not changed the 9-volt battery.
Yeah, well, yeah, we don't have a lot of furniture right now, so I don't even have, like, a chair to stand on or anything. So, yeah, I haven't done it because I can't reach it. I admit it.
There you go.
Do you know that how beyond stupid that is?
Friend could have stood up with friends. Little,
That you and your friends had a discussion about it?
Yeah.
And one of them couldn't have given you a boost or tossed you on her shoulders or something like that?
It is. They were dudes. Some of them were guys.
What kind of pussies are you hanging around with that they couldn't? Or, by the way, do you live in a, like, Roman Gothic cathedral?
You'd have vaulted ceiling.
Huge
flying buttresses.
She didn't want to disturb the frescoes. You live in a crappy apartment with cottage cheese blown on the ceiling. It's 8 feet away from the floor, right?
Yeah, kind of.
You didn't have to get Da Vinci up on the scaffolding to go grab it off there? Was it the kind of place where Tom Hanks chased a monk through your living room?
Well, actually, my boyfriend, I consider that his job, and he hasn't done it yet. So.
Buttress.
I'm just gonna sit here and wait.
Oh, my God. Now, where is this thing? If you tell me it's in your bedroom, I'm going to throw myself through the glass window of the studio.
It's in, like, our kitchen, like, living room.
So you just watch TV and it goes off every 28 seconds all day, every day?
What?
I don't even notice it anymore.
We get that you don't notice it, but that's all the more amazing to us.
Right.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But do you ever see... You ever go to the supermarket and you see, like, the old lady and she has a mole with, like, four really long hairs growing out of it? And you go, man, what the F, man? Come on, sweetie. Don't you brush your teeth? Don't you want to trim that? Guess who stopped noticing things?
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
I promise. I will change it tomorrow. I swear.
It'd be nice.
The anal fissure.
Can I say this, though?
Yeah. Seriously. It's from anal sex.
Can I say this, Drew?
Yeah. There it is.
Sarah, I'm going to ask you not to change it. Because here's my little Darwinian plan.
Oh.
A fire breaks out in your apartment and you're not able to reproduce. Uh-huh. You perish in the fire.
Oh, that's just mean.
No, but you understand what I'm trying to create here, the utopia I'm trying to create?
Yeah. Like
you're going to give birth to a bunch of little people that don't hear smoke detectors. I would like your genetic, I don't want your DNA passed on. Know what I'm saying? This is how it works, right? A fire eventually claims you, and you're not able to pass on your DNA. Isn't this the way nature works?
That's the way nature works.
Okay. Don't change the battery, Sarah.
Another question. Do you know what
I suggest fondue this evening? With the little Sterno can?
Yeah, I get it.
Sarah?
Yes.
Do you know what a 9-volt battery is?
Some of the square ones?
Yes. You know what they are?
Do you know what fondue is?
Yeah, you know, you dip the stuff in, yeah.
What is fondue is made of?
Cheese.
Okay.
And the difference between veal and venison?
Veal and what?
Venison. Venison?
I have no idea.
I didn't.
But veal, you know, right?
Veal? No.
Ooh.
What is it?
Lives in Texas, too.
By the way, how easy is it to get anal from dumb chicks? Not veal. They don't have cows in your part of the world?
Probably, yes. We have lots of cows here.
No veal. Ironic that the place with the more cows probably knows the least and consumes the least veal.
Somehow it's okay.
Right?
Yeah, they go right to the cow. Right. Yeah.
So the anal fissure, Drew?
Probably from anal sex in your case. And it will not heal if you keep having anal sex is the tough part about it. Okay.
Well, could it possibly be because I have an asshole the size of a mason jar?
Yeah.
Well done.
All right, put the dude on the phone.
Well, they're not on the phone. They're in the hub right now. They're me on.
They're where?
In the hub.
What's the hub?
The hub. All right. It's where all the devoted Adam and Drew fans go and talk during the shows.
I need to know the masterminds that put you...
At a distance did this to you.
Yes.
At a distance. They must be good. But
these are like SLA members. They did to you what they did to Patty Hearst in the early 70s.
Now, this could get even more diabolical. Is there really a smoke detector there, or were you just sitting us up?
It was a YouTube video of a guy that was just taping his smoke detector beeping, and so I was just playing it.
Bravo! Bravo!
Sarah.
Bravo!
You're a much better man than I.
Veal and venison question, too. I wanted to, but...
You wanted to answer the veal and venison.
Bravo.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Veal is...
Baby cow.
Venison.
Yeah.
Bravo. Bravo. We can stop. I'm going off the air now. Stop the show. Bravo.
Wow.
Sarah, bravo.
Sarah, it takes a big, 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 big man to admit when he's had one pulled over on himself, and that is Dr. Drew. That was absolutely amazing. I'm a little rusty. I'm off my game. So
I love the rant, though. I was, like, seriously sitting here trying my hardest not to just hysterically burst out laughing. It was great.
Oh, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Are you single? I'm so in love with you right now.
Are you really in Austin?
Yeah, I am.
And really,
do you go to UT?
What was that?
Do you go to UT?
I did. I just graduated, actually.
What are you going to study? Espionage?
I graduated with a degree in kinesiology.
Nice. Go to physical therapy.
Baby. Loving you.
Do physical
Love you so much. And there was a guy, there had to be
a group of guys.
A group of guys that put you up to this, right?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them.
I'm so in love with you. They're in the hub.
We don't care about that.
At first, I just thought that was another euphemism for your ass. But this is online.
And the timing, exquisite.
Oh, with the smoke detector.
But when she delivered the mason jar, world class.
Oh, my
world
God.
Class. Got the payout. Everything.
A lot of gals would have hiccuped, stumbled.
Oh, 10 minutes earlier would have gaffed.
Sarah.
There's 11 minutes into this thing. She's still holding it together.
I got to tell you.
Oh.
I'm glad I made you proud, guys.
Oh, really, my God. Oh, I'm breathtaking. Breathtaking.
Nice work.
Yes.
And a shout out. Shout out to all the nerds in the hub.
Bravo.
Good times.
All right, Sarah. We don't want to let you go, but we will.
Okay. Thank you.
Good job, baby.
Bye.
Wow. Anal fissure.
Got it all.
Smoke detector.
She's got it all.
Anus the size of a mason jar. So strong.
Oh, God.
Normally, I'd feel some sense of shame, possibly anger.
No, it's awe.
No, it's awe.
Well done.
We just got dunked on by Michael Jordan.
Oh, that was just
all we can do is stare at his vertical leap. Amazing.
I feel like she had to she had to do batting practice all the time. Hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, she can tee you up and send you off in different directions.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Shill for my rant.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like a guy claims to be a psychic and he puts someone in the audience.
Right.
She starts me up with my rants.
Yeah.
Walked right into her little trap. Feel used. Feel dirty.
I strangely feel like I just had anal.
I need to take like one of those Silkwood showers.
What's that? I don't know what that is.
Jesus.
I don't know what that is.
It's a goddamn movie called Silkwood.
Oh.
You ever heard of a little actress named Meryl Streep?
Yeah, yeah.
Worked a little in the 70s.
Pretty much
fell off.
Apartments.com. Ever had one of those moments where you realize it's time to find a new place? At Apartments.com, they call it an out-of-apartment experience. It could be life-altering, like finding out your family is growing, or life-annoying, like dealing with a broken change machine at a laundromat. If you find yourself in an out-of-apartment experience, start your search for a new place at Apartments.com. They've helped millions of renters find their perfect place to live, and their powerful search tools helps you find a listing that checks all of your boxes. So take a moment and check out Apartments.com, the place to find.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Place. And that was Adam playing a Loveline reunion bogus phone call.
And that clip from 2009. All right, for our next clip, we're going to stay in 2009, but we're going to hear from Teresa Strasser. Brian is not there in this clip because he's going to be in his honeymoon in Hawaii. Weirdly enough, as you hear this, he is in Hawaii right now again, but I digress.
Dude loves the islands.
He does. So let's go back to 2009.
He has the aloha spirit.
Yeah, he does. He really does. And we'll hear all about it when he gets back. But Teresa Strasser, Adam Carolla, 2009.
Never played this episode before. There's very little Teresa Strasser left in the barrel to scrape out for you guys. But I found some Strasser resin. It's Adam Carolla Show 76, June of 2009. Brian is AFK due to his honeymoon in Hawaii, and they talk about his wedding. Solid episode, very short. It's the entire thing. Hope you guys enjoy.
Welcome back to the podcast. Fan favorite, Teresa Strasser.
Thank you for having me.
T, last time we saw each other was at Bald Brian's very poignant wedding.
Oh, it was beautiful.
In wine country.
Yeah, Yountville.
Is that where it was?
Yeah, I think that's how you say it, Yountville.
Uh-huh.
Napa. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Brian is still on his honeymoon, which is why he's not here with us in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's coming back today or tomorrow. I got a voicemail from him, and he sounded really good on the voicemail.
Oh, good.
Much better than when we heard him.
Yes, we saw him at the wedding, and he was a little bit shaky because his treatment has affected the tumor and aggravated the tumor, and I'm no doctor, but basically they zap the tumor. When they zap the tumor, it sort of activates the tumor, or swells the tumor, or swells the brain, and so the symptoms start to really...
They flare up, and by all accounts, this was a really good sign. It means they're zapping just the right place, and the swelling means that it's working, but the symptoms definitely were more pronounced than I think either of us had seen.
Yes, so he was having a little difficulty walking and speaking, and I would liken it to a mild stroke.
Yeah.
That sort of shuffle.
The shuffle and facially.
Yes.
And
yes.
Although he got through the vows.
The wedding, well, I missed that part.
we'll get to that in a minute.
Flew to Napa and missed the wedding.
I assumed you had just flown in, and
No, had been in for 3 hours. Lynette doesn't have any sense of time, or there's no, in life you kind
of urgency.
You need someone behind you doing this.
Let's go.
Let's pick it up.
Let's go, Mama.
Let's go.
We got a wedding.
Let's
go. We got some vows.
Let's go. And I'm not that guy. Like my feeling is, it's weird. I'm old-fashioned in that I think there's certain things chicks are supposed to do and certain things guys are supposed to do. And guys are supposed to pay the bills, protect everybody, provide, put food on the table. Hang a picture, ward off an intruder, put a roof over your head. But the guys on the event, like the wedding, the guy's not supposed to be the one going, come on, we're going to be late.
Right, we can't miss the I-dos.
No, I'm supposed to be watching the game, drinking a beer, and they're supposed to come in and go, come on now. And I'm going, oh, come on, we're in the fourth quarter here. Come on, we're going to be late. I'm not supposed to be the metronome.
See, I see it as a guy thing because my husband's always on time, and he always is aware of the time, and he gives me a warning. Like, okay, you've got 7 minutes. And then
right.
I tell him, give me three.
Right.
Because I know I'm going to lose track.
It's also a weird thing with weddings where 6 o'clock on the invitation could mean we start at 7:15 or 6:45. Or sometimes it means we start at 6.
This was a wedding that began at 6. And it did start a few minutes late. I looked around. I thought, I wonder if Adam got a gig or something and couldn't make it. I was looking for you guys. Didn't see you.
Now, we came walking right up as they were walking right out
this
and
was
past them.
The recessional. Like, literally, I now pronounce you man and wife.
They walked straight down through everyone, walked through over the grassy knoll, and we walked over the grassy knoll and ran right in.
The first thing they did as a married couple was
run into me and Lynette.
That you and Lynette had missed their wedding.
That's the first thing. And I've walked in. Not snuck in, but walked in late to a million weddings where I literally bumped into the bride and groom while they were walking out of the church or in the lobby of the church. I went to a wedding in Malibu, Donnie, what's that house that's made of tile over there in Malibu?
The Addison House?
The what house?
Addison House.
Addison House that everyone gets married at. On. I literally was late again to the wedding and was sort of making my way through a sort of maze of hedges and stuff. And somebody sort of said, no, go this way. And it was like out of a Hugh Grant movie from the late 90s. My wife and I came walking down the thing, made a left, and actually had joined the wedding procession that was walking to the front of the thing. And everyone was giving us a stink eye, and I was like, the guy told me to, and everyone's like, should we sit down? And I don't know what that thing about chicks being late to stuff. As I've said many times, the 70 cents to our dollar seems way too much. Way too
what
much.
Should, you think it should be around about 63 cents?
When chicks say, you know, we only get 70 cents to your dollar, I have two thoughts. My one thought is, you're saying that's too much, right? Because you're certainly only worth 50 cents. Or the second one is, are you pissed because you're getting paid in change? I listen, Teresa, overall, I think we've done the ladies a disservice when we've said to them, look, you're not anyone's cook, you're not anyone's seamstress, you're not anyone's maid, you don't have to do any of that stuff. And I feel like there's a generation of women growing up who don't know, and guys, by the way, there's a whole generation of guys growing up that can't do a simple plumbing fix at their home.
Right. I agree. And I think this is a disservice to both genders. For example, yes. We've got to get a car seat, baby seat.
Right.
And apparently you have to take it down to the police station. And I can't figure out, is this a law or is it just that most men don't know how to install the car seat?
It's not a law. They will install it or sort of certify it or make sure you've done it correctly. I don't believe it's a law. We have now created a generation where the guy, if the toilet just does that thing where it just keeps running, can't just pop the lid off and bend the ball cock valve thing or the float and fix it.
Right.
No guys I know can do that. And we've created a generation where if you tear your jeans, a chick can't fire up a sewing machine and mend the jeans.
Right.
Who's this serving? And by the way, don't you want that sort of symbiotic relationship, like that sort of thing where it's like, you know, you can cook your ass off and you're whiz with a singer sewing machine, and I got every tool every tool at the Home Depot in the garage, and anything goes wrong, I come out and
we're
fix it.
We're a good team.
We're a good team.
We complement each other.
And if a junkie breaks in at 4 in the morning, I'll punch his ass out.
I would like to think that you would. That would make me feel
better. I would, but every guy I know does not know anything about cars, does not know anything about home improvement, and brags about it.
Right.
Brags about it. That's the difference. Yeah.
Here's
the difference. The fucking shame factor has been removed from society. Like, when you talk to a chick who knows how to, you know, if there's three chicks eating lunch and one of them knows how to sew, she's a sucker.
Right, right.
Or she's a granny. Or what'd you do? Make yourself some bloomers? You know what I mean?
Or you just stay home and cook and sew?
Yes, it's frowned upon. And raise your kids? What's up?
Well, I'll say this. For one, my dad is, you know, as you know, was a mechanic and very handy. And we were just there because he lives near, you know, up in Napa where the wedding is, although he lives in the really sad, poor part of Napa.
Mm-hmm.
This place called Lake County. And we went in a
boat. Where they make the night train?
They make
fortified wine. Welcome to fortified wine country. A bunch of black guys bags around their night train.
It's basically that.
Would be a great event. We're taking a tour. Where? Of wine country? Kind of.
It's technically.
It's fortified wine. We're going to the night train vineyards. There's a guy named Grady behind the counter. Don't eyeball him.
Also, Grady asked that you not take any photos. Long story.
Yeah, long story.
Long story, but this isn't Domaine Chandon where you can take a picture near the barrels. Long story. I noted that it was a diverse community in that the meth heads were Native American, Mexican, and white.
Wow.
But they were all ages of meth heads up there where my dad now lives, and his girlfriend, his lady friend, has a boat.
That's a rich man, poor man thing.
This whole town. There's a few people who live on the lake, and those are rich, and then everybody else.
Yeah, having a boat is something you have when you have tons of money or no money.
Right.
The middle class somehow can't afford a boat, But somehow people with zero money have a boat.
Amazing. And then there was a lot of talk about how it costs $70 a month to dock said boat.
Ooh,
which is
my
rich.
God.
Too rich for my dad's blood. But the boat, the battery was dead. Mm-hmm. So my dad just went, you know, to the battery store, got a battery, put in a new battery. And I thought, I'm happy that my father knows how to do this. Like looking at my 65-year-old dad, take out a battery, put in a new one so we could all go out and pretend we're Gentiles.
Right.
A boat in a lake. It made me feel good. Like, it made me feel safe. My dad knows how to do something that's useful. On the other hand, I don't know how to do any of the girly stuff. And I do have, it's an identity crisis right now because this is the first time in my life I haven't earned because I'm not working.
Right.
6 months pregnant.
But you're preggers.
It's weird, but I feel ashamed that I'm not really bringing it.
Good. Let that motivate you.
I do feel like I do clean now. Because
good.
I want my husband to come home to a clean house. He's working all day, and it's not that hard for me to dust or put dishes away.
Yeah, the thing about, I mean, the shame, that's the factor that we need. Like, it used to be when guys didn't know shit about cars, and they were out on a date, or they saw a chick whose car was broken down by the side of the road, they'd walk around the front of the car, and they'd go, pop the hood, let me get a look-see. Now, they didn't know shit about cars, but at least they said pop the hood because they're the man.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to look like the guy who didn't know what was going on. Now, at least with the guys I know, you tell them, hey, my car's not started. It's like, call AAA. I don't know. What do you want me to do?
AAA should be the thing you do after you've checked everything yourself.
Also, what about this? What about just the fighting part? Remember, just a few years ago, guy would tell you a story like, hey, man, I was on my way to work. And next thing you know, I gave the guy a toot on the horn because the light was green and he hadn't gone. And the fucking guy gets out of the car and he starts banging on the window. So I push open the door and I give him the what? You want some fuck? You want fucking trouble because you fucking found it, dude. And he gives me, he backed down. I mean, he backed down. But I got out of that car, man. It was like, and they would tell you that. And you knew it was kind of bullshit. You knew it didn't really go down that way. You knew the guy probably talked to him through his window, and he didn't get out of the car, and it wasn't quite what he said it was. But now you talk to guys, and the guy would be like, and I honked at this guy, and the next thing you know, he got out of the car, and I freaked out. I called 911, and I rolled the window up, and I started honking the horn just to see if I could attract attention because I wanted help. And so he started banging on the thing, so I slid over to the passenger side and started yelling for help. And it's like, you're willing to admit you're going to shout from the mountaintop you're a pussy.
Yeah, I want to avoid physical confrontation.
I need a bullhorn because not enough people know I'm a pussy and know nothing about engines.
And also, can I borrow a tampon?
Yes.
Having a heavy flow day.
I just feel like there was a time when the guys at least pretended and chicks at least sort of pretended, and now it's all beneath everyone.
Listen, I'm not happy about it because I feel like, you know, I have, like, my whole identity is wrapped up in what I do, kind of like when they say men lose their jobs and they get really, really depressed. I feel that way. I feel like, well, if I'm just home, which I'm going to be, with, you know, a little Buster raising him, am I going to be completely irrelevant and I'm not going to matter because all I'm doing is taking care of this baby and, you know, I won't be contributing and I have a lot of crises.
But I think part of that, part of the problem and part of the lie that we've sold the women of this society is if you're just staying home and taking care of a kid, you're a loser. You need to be out doing a documentary. You need to be out writing a book. You need to be conquering the corporate world. Just staying home, keeping a good house, knowing whatever the domestic duties, knowing how to put a stitch into a curtain that's hanging too low and bake a pie. That's passé. That's nonsense. That's for the losers. That's for the red staters, you know? And I think it's important that women take care of their kids and do that. And I think it's important that the guy be able to turn a wrench and fix a ball cock valve.
Well, I agree. And what about, this is an old-fashioned notion that I kind of like, that making your husband happy is part of your job.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's part, like, even be, not to, like, gross you out, but even being this pregnant, I still feel like, you know what, my husband's happiness is part of my job. And I got to make it happen.
I used to say on Loveline all the time, you know, some chick would call in and she'd like, I don't really like, you know, oral sex, and I'm not really, and we had this sort of, or I'm not feeling sexual, and it was during this time, and I still think we're in this time, where someone would call in and they go, I have a boyfriend, a long-term boyfriend or a husband, and he wants sex once a week, and I don't really feel like I'm in the mood, so I don't, and everyone would always rush in, like, hey, if you're not into it, then you shouldn't do it, and if nobody should force you to do anything, you know, but by the way, everything was rape, you know,
if you're not in the mood, it's your body.
Right, nobody should violate your space, blah, 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 and I was the only guy who was saying, look, does a guy go out and work all day? Yeah. Does he provide? Yes. Does he cheat on you? No. Is he a good guy? Does he ever smack you around or anything? No. Then how about you just fucking have a glass of wine, spread your legs, and close your eyes, pretend George Clooney's on you once a fucking week?
Look, you know what I mean? It might take you a couple of minutes to get into it.
Yeah.
And then you will. You might have to get over that initial resistance.
You don't even have to be into it.
You don't even have to be into it. I completely agree.
Fucking hold still for 10 minutes and let this guy get his rocks off. He works hard. You know what? The alarm goes off every morning at 6:45. You think he's into it?
But you know what you get?
Think he wants to go down to the fucking GM plant in Van Nuys?
He's
not feeling it. No, he just gets up and goes.
You get a happy husband who wants to be there. And on that note, I have to tell you that in Napa, we were staying up there for Brian's wedding, which was amazing. I'm sure we'll get to that more when he's here. But we got this porn in our hotel room. And it was the most amazing porn I've ever seen in my life.
In Napa,
the
hotel
room?
At
the Vintage Inn or whatever it's called. You take a risk.
Is it porn or dude porn? Is it like a romantic?
Well,
Napa
that's the weird thing. I've never seen any porn like it. It had a laugh track. It was the not Brady Bunch. It was the not Brady Bunch.
Finally, Sherwood Schwartz has made the controversial leap into porn.
Oh, baby, just kick me. Ow, seriously. Leg in my rib. This porn was so wonderfully bizarre. It was shot like the Brady Bunch. It looked like the Brady Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
The colors, you know, the way they shot things then.
Sure.
And all the characters.
Burnt orange and avocado green.
Yeah, the sets were amazing. And there was a laugh track, which was at first really, really creepy.
Right.
Because it looked and felt just like the Brady Bunch.
They do, there's a Happy Days porn. They do that. Do that. Go to the computer, Donnie, and show me some Happy Days porn.
You gotta see this Brady Bunch.
And I don't know how the law works. I mean, I don't know if Sherwood Schwartz is suing them. I don't know if, you know, the producers of Happy Days. I don't know if they have any money. The porn industry seems to follow zero rules.
It's lawless. Yeah, and no one seems to come down on them. This was the characters had the same names, and they had the opening credits,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the pictures
sure.
of the kids and everything, and a similar song, and it had a kind of involved plot, like your standard A plot, B plot.
Why? But by the way, you get a choice of porn when you dial up the in room porn, right?
Yeah.
How did you arrive? You know, why not Partridge Family? Or Too Close for Comfort, or Eight is Enough.
Well, this was, okay, I let my husband pick the porn. And last time we were on a trip, he got the all-you-can-eat porn, which was like, you know, for whatever, $69.99, you can watch a Limitless. Because if you get the one and it's bad, you're screwed. Now, meanwhile, this is the same man who went to get some M&Ms from the minibar and then realized they were $4 and was like, no.
Right.
But for the porn.
Well, I've said it many times. You'll go to the strip club. You'll have, you know, $500 worth of 20s. You'll be balling them up and throwing them at the stripper. You'll be making it rain in the strip club. You're just 20 after 20 after 20 after 20 just being laid out to every chick. And by the way, chick will sit on your lap and order a Fresca. And it'll be $14, you know, all night long. And then you go to the bathroom, and there's the Ethiopian guy standing there next to the mints. You're like, don't establish eye contact. I won't have to give this guy a dollar. I'll have to fucking give if I look up, don't use the sink.
I'll dry my hands on my pants.
My hands are fucking filled with patchouli oil, glitter, and pan drippings from hookers. But I don't want to wash my hands, because if I wash my hands, he's going to hand me a towel. I need to give him a dollar. And like, so it is weird when you get really, like, you spend $70 on porn, but you won't spend $4 on peanut M&Ms.
That's what happened to my husband. And he picked the Not Brady Bunch. I don't know why. I guess it seemed appealing. But it was so good because it was really wholesome and sweet and then juxtaposed against, like, really, you know,
what do they show? Paper. What do they show in hotels now? I mean, is it full? Because it's hard to tell. And I mean, by the way, when they have the sign that says like free Wi-Fi or continental breakfast, put like full jizz loads in porn, you know, so I know what's going on. Because I never know
euphemistically.
Yeah, feel free to label it, because I don't know whether you're going to get the close up of Ron Jeremy's face right at the end, going oh yeah, and then not, and then cut to some other scene. Like they show penetration.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This was everything.
Money shot. Really?
Yes.
So, and this is Napa Valley. So all bets are off. I mean, it's open. It's now when you go to a hotel or even a quaint little place in Napa Valley and you order porn on the TV, it's no longer edited.
Maybe chains edit or something like that. I don't know. Like
so if it was a Ramada, Hilton, I don't know. Might edit.
But there is.
There's nothing worse than getting the wrong porn and having to live with it.
You're stuck with it.
And I tell the story famously that back in the day, the Weeze, you'll appreciate this. Back in the day when Jimmy and I used to stay at the Lowe's in Manhattan. We go to Manhattan, fair to Midland, semi-crappy hotel right there on, I don't know, 34th and I can't remember what. Maybe it was like 52nd and something. But anyway, 7th or something like that. We would go there and we'd be in there for like 10 days. And we didn't want to pay for the porn. So we would bring a universal remote and vice grips. And Jimmy would go to the back of the cable box because they had that little collar.
The lock collar.
They had that lock collar, which is the same thing essentially you use when you don't want squirrels to get on shit. Like when you see a tree or telephone pole that's got like that weird sheet metal thing that's like, that's keep squirrels off. Yeah, so you couldn't. It's so you couldn't reach behind the box and just undo the coax cable and pull it out and swap it with the other one. So you'd take it, you'd take the vice grips, a needle nose pliers, undo the coax, plug it into the main line or swap it around, but then you needed a universal remote because you needed to set the TV to pick up those stations that were the porn stations once you swapped the shit over.
Uh-huh.
So when we would travel with a pair of needle nose pliers and a universal remote.
You never told me this story.
But the joke about it was we only had one universal remote.
Oh, no.
So once you got your TV set to the porn station and the other guy took the universal remote to go to set his, you had to leave it on your porn station. If you switch it to CNN using the main remote, you couldn't get it back to your thing because you needed the universal remote. So you'd be in Manhattan for a week and it'd either be on the porn station, or if you wanted to switch it and watch some MTV, you had to go get the remote from Jimmy's room and walk it back down.
Like man show days? What is this?
This is pre-man show days.
Okay, so you don't have money, because I was about to say, like, you guys couldn't afford
two remotes. And now if you had it on CNN or MTV and you want to switch it back to porn, you have to knock on Jimmy's door for the remote, basically announcing, I am going to jack off and watch porn now.
Yes.
Which you might want to keep private.
Well,
he's not going to be watching.
Jimmy doesn't have delicate sensibilities because when we were in Seattle, when UCLA was there for the Final Four, and we were staying at a motor lodge and bunking up in the same bed in the same room in a motor lodge about 25 miles outside of Seattle, the place was such a dump. It was one of those places where you took a shower and the tub didn't drain.
Yeah.
And so, of course, Jimmy took his shower first, 4:30 in the morning. We're doing morning radio. And then I hopped in there, water about mid-shin, and I started showering. And Jimmy did the knock on the door, and he goes, watch it. I beat off in there.
So you're waiting around.
I don't know if he was fucking with me. I'm assuming he wasn't. But I'm just saying, we didn't have delicate, we didn't have a lot to hide from each other.
Wait, I like porn and everything, but I want to back up for a second because I think there's a correlation to men not knowing how to handle cars in a house anymore to the decline of manufacturing in America.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
You mean us farming everything out?
These guys are becoming domesticated, so why do I want to go tinker in the garage?
Well, people don't know trades anymore, and it's frowned upon. I mean, not amongst the Latins. They're cool with it. But every other group... Look.
But how many things were started out of a garage?
If you're white or you're Japanese or you're Jewish or even black and your son goes off to work at a sheet metal shop, that's a disappointment to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When the goal is to get everyone to college and out of the blue collar world, then who are you going to have
engineering
left?
Engineering and architecture and...
We're still not building. I mean, there's still somebody needs to hit a factory floor and do some building.
It's true. There's more. There's a classism involved with going into the trades. So it's looked down on if, you know, somebody like my dad is a mechanic, wants his son to go
better
to college.
For you. Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't have to use our hands.
And nobody has a dream of their son being a cement contractor or working at a transmission shop like your dad.
I got to go back to the Not Brady Porn in a second, but I took out my iPhone today and I got an email from Nelson, my dad, and the headline, the subject was definitely not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what's this? One of your phrases. one of the bits from our old show. And I opened it, and it's my dad's ad from Craigslist. He's trying to make a few extra bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a photo of him with a giant weed whacker. It has his name and address, and it says, do you need your weeds whacked?
Wow. That's
what Nelson's doing.
Wow.
He can make a few extra bucks. He tutors, but I guess it's slow in the summer.
I was doing Loveline the other night, and I was just talking to Dr. Drew, and I was just going, what's up? And, you know, what's up with the healthcare system, and what's up with UV rays and the sunshine? Why is the sun so bad for you? And all this kind of stuff. And he basically just said, look, everyone was supposed to die at 70.
Right.
And now everyone's going into their 90s, and we haven't figured it out as a society. You got my grandma at 96 having to, you know, get a second mortgage on the house to pay for the nurse and the chick who wipes her ass. Your dad's over there. How old's Nelson?
65.
He's 65. He's holding a weed whacker. He's supposed to be dying.
I know.
And he feels great, and he feels so good, he's going to whack your weeds.
He'd like to whack. That's all he wants is a chance to whack your weeds for a few bucks.
I'm saying we haven't evolved that much since people were dying off at age. I mean, I'd love to go back. You go back 100 years, just 100 years, and that is just the blink of an eye. It's a hummingbird's heartbeat in terms of the Earth's calendar, right? 100 years. Donnie, get on that computer contraption of yours and find out when the average age of death was for a male, just for fun because it'll make it a little younger, 100 years ago. I would say that it was late 50s, early 60s. I mean, it was
definitely... In plenty of other parts of the world, you know, you're gonna live till 50.
Right.
During what time period?
100 years ago.
100 years ago.
That's why you're going to start having your kids a lot sooner.
Right.
And a couple of them aren't going to make it. And then you're not going to make it.
Right. And so we do this thing now where... You know, women have breasts at 13, but you can't do anything until they're 18, and then everyone lives until they're 90-something years old. And I think we're kind of confounding nature in a weird way. We're not supposed to go on this long. And science has gotten ahead of nature, and we're keeping people alive who should have died in their 70s into their 90s, and then we wonder why the healthcare system is broke.
Yeah, it's taxing the system, but what are we supposed to do? Put them all down at 70? Some of them.
I'm just saying, I was telling Dr. Drew, let's give everyone their cigarettes back.
Was it so bad taking people's, you know, having people smoke and then die at 65 or 70?
100 years ago, male child born in 1903 had the life expectancy of 49 years, while the female had a life expectancy of 51. By the way, you guys have made a wider chasm between those, although from a percentage standpoint, it's probably not that far off. But 49.
Wow.
So 100 years ago.
That's nothing. That's a blink in space time.
Right. And by the way, You didn't retire in your mid-30s. You just worked until you're 49. You got a Timex. You went home and died.
Yeah, now what are you supposed to do? You retire, and then you're just supposed to sit around.
Oh, wait a minute. 1,000 years ago, a child born 1,000 AD had an average life expectancy of 24 years. Jesus Christ.
I think there are some parts of Africa where you live till about 40.
Must have been weird 1,000 years ago when like a 26-year-old came by and was like, hey, listen. It's like, hey, pops, spare me your lecture.
Or the guy turns 27 and then everyone gathers around to find out his secrets of old age. What do you do?
Well, I drink a lot of Nile water.
Ooh, Nile water.
And I stretch.
Stretching, okay.
And I work with bronze a lot.
Bronze is good.
Keeps me young.
Anti-aging.
I'm working on something called an aqueduct, so it keeps my mind busy.
And I understand you have been married for 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
How do you keep that together?
Well, you know, I stay in shape by flogging Jews. So, you know,
gets
keeps
the
upper
heart
body.
Going.
Gets, yeah. Keeps my heart rate up. Yeah. And, you know, no escalators in the Coliseum, you know. It is crazy. I mean, 24 years of age, 1,000 years ago, but 100 years ago, 49. Now, where it's gone in the last, I mean, to go just, again, as a species, to go from 49 to 80, 81 in 100 years is insane. And, I mean, I think the guys are probably at 78.7 or 79. I mean, we're knocking on 80's door right now. And that means our kids, you know, if there's not a terrorist attack or a dirty bomb that cleans us all out, I mean, they're going to look forward to 90-plus years. And if you knock off work at 71... that's 20-something years of sucking off the teat of the government, and those are real expensive years.
It's true. You're sick. You need a lot of medication, a lot of copay.
I would propose a Logan's Run-type alternative to this.
How does that work?
In Logan's Run, they killed people off. Michael York was one of the guys who did it. I think it was Michael York. Farrah Fawcett, the late, great Farrah Fawcett, was in that. I think on your 29th, your 30th birthday, the government put you down. And if you think about it, you know, at a certain age, you're done breeding and you're done earning, and all you do is complain and drive slow and smell weird. And we need to put you down.
Do you want to live a really long life? Like, do you want to be 80, 90?
I have to say, I say what every young person says, you know, which is, I'd like to live as long as I felt good and healthy and all that kind of stuff. And my grandmother, as I've told you, told me many years ago that she had suicide pills. And it's a combination of pills. I was doing some work. I was in her bedroom. I was putting crown molding up in her bedroom. And I looked on top of one of those like vanities and you know, dressers or whatever, a wardrobe. And I saw a thing of pills on top. And I said, what are these pills? She gave me the, it's in case of emergency kind of thing. And I said, what do you mean? And she's like, you know, if I lose my faculties or I start crapping myself or whatever, I'm taking those pills. I'm going out on top, you know. And I thought, that's noble.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was fine. And my grandmother, ton of chutzpah, strong-willed, got around, you know, drove, did her whole thing. And all the way through her 80s, and, you know, then she hit 90, and, you know, next thing you know, there's a wheelchair, and there's a diaper, and there's somebody, you know, there's one of those folding chairs sitting in the tub, which is never a good sign.
No.
And she was the spokesperson for, hey, man, when you start crapping yourself, it's time to
time
check
to go
out.
Take the pills.
And she's 96, and I've offered those pills to her. I mean, I said, listen, come on. I'll get you some.
Is that
post
awkward?
Them.
Go down
easy.
Post some cocktail. That's no way to leave this world with a glass of Postum.
I know.
Suicide pills.
I seriously, my family is so cheap they'd go out with Sanka. They really would. So I said, I haven't said anything, of course, but I've been thinking, what happened to all the talk? And the point is everyone does a lot of talking.
But when it's you, hey, man, you
die young,
leave.
Live fast, right. leave a handsome corpse right. and all that stuff. But when it gets down to it, you want to live.
And that kind of makes me happy.
There's no point where you go, you know what, it's Tuesday and I don't want to see what Wednesday has in store.
See, I feel like I have that maybe more than other people.
I think you do, and I think everyone does, but I still think when you're 89...
You don't want to leave the
you're
party.
Still be crapping yourself, staring at the phone, waiting for the grandkid that resents you to call.
See, right now, I'm healthy and I have everything, and still I've had moments where I'm like, well, if I die during childbirth,
yeah.
That won't be the worst thing. It'll be pain. I'd feel bad for Buster and
right.
and my husband, but eh.
Yeah. Well, again, you know,
those are the darker moments.
You sure?
I don't know why I just shared that, but no. I do have those moments where I just think, I don't know. There's nothing wrong. Everything's fine, and yet I think it's like a party, and sometimes I just want to go home. Yeah. I don't want to know what happens at the party. I feel lonely and out of sorts and out of place and left out most of the time. Wouldn't be so bad to just quietly, like the way I leave a party, I don't like to say goodbye to people. I just disappear.
I don't either. I am the king of sneaking out of the party. And I have those thoughts too. Like, would nothing be so bad? You know what I mean?
Yeah. The absence of, you know, things that haunt me or scare me or... You know, make me feel unworthy. All that stuff.
It's a pretty simple math equation. You have to put on one side of the ledger things to live for, things you enjoy, things that bring you pleasure, and then the other side of the ledger is stuff that pisses you off, stuff you could do without, stuff that haunts you from your past, and you see what side the scale tips. And I guess when you're depressed, you have more on the side of the scale that bums you out. And when you're perpetually happy, you have a nice big fat fucking sandbag on the happy side.
It's nice. It's like, it makes me happy that people like your grandma are holding on. That makes me think there's some inherent, you know, joie de vivre. There's something that makes people want to hold on, even though I sometimes feel the joie de mort. But I think you're right. It's just at certain moments where, like, if my brain chemistry is a little off, okay, if I haven't been sleeping and now I can't, you know, I can't just take a Xanax or a Klonopin or anything. So right. I have a little trouble modulating my anxiety some days. Mm-hmm. And those times it suddenly seems like nothing's okay. But for the most part, it doesn't.
I don't want to burst your super depressed bubble, but here goes. I don't think what keeps my grandmother alive is happiness or that she thought, you know, that she's enjoying her twilight more than she thought she would. I think it's a basic human... Well, first of all, it's just a sort of a narcissism, which is I must exist.
Right.
Without me, the world would not exist. In a weird way, it doesn't. When you don't exist, then it doesn't exist. But there's also an element of just... It's built into our DNA that you can't kill yourself by holding your breath.
Yeah.
You must take a gulp of air. No matter how much you'd like to die... You have to take a gulp of air.
Yeah, everything in your system is telling you to live, and definitely
have a force within you that almost mandates that you live.
I don't even think you could drown. I mean, you have to put rocks in your pocket, right? Because you couldn't just drown yourself.
Yeah. Well, my fantasy is that here's the way I'd like to go out. There's a whole cult of guys that try to enlarge their penis using weights.
Yeah, I've seen this.
And they walk around all day with big weights dragging off their cock. And my fantasy is that I'm walking around with 40 pounds of weight on my cock with a beer, and I slip and fall into a swimming pool. And I go right down to the deep
end. That's the way.
They find... And at some point, it comes out in the coroner's report where they know I struggled.
Right.
And that way...
Mightily.
He struggled. They found scratch marks on the coping. You know, it's like one of those things. And then, you know, when I'm being eulogized, they do that thing where they go, he was a fighter to the end. You know what I mean?
To the very end. He wanted to live like with Carradine. A longer penis.
And I'm thinking, as far as like your kid, and I'm sure your kid's, you know, probably, I mean, less than a 20% chance he's ever going to die this way. But if you, and I said less.
Thank you.
It could be 0.00000.1%, you know, but saying less, for sure less. Where would you rather have your kid go? Suicide? Or trying to enlarge his cock,
right,
fell into the deep end of a pool?
Definitely the latter. Because suicide would be sort of my fault.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. If he's unhappy, and even though I do have my little moments, you know, like I can't wait to see my baby and I can't wait to, you know, see him get married and all those milestones and everything. But if he kills himself, even if there's just something wrong with his brain chemistry, I'm going to blame myself and people are going to give me the stink eye.
Right.
No matter how understanding they think they're being, they're going to kind of think she must have been a pretty crappy mom.
But then how about the part where you have to explain to people?
That's bad.
Suicide is easy. You just go, suicide, and everyone goes, wow, sorry, man, that hurts. He was a good
guy. Right,
and
then you could find a support group.
No needs details.
Yeah.
You know, but when you go, you know, well, what happened to Buster? He drowned. Drowned? He was the captain of his high school swim team.
Well, he wasn't freestyling as much as he was cock stretching.
What?
Yeah.
Was that a new stroke?
Well, there were stroking involved, unfortunately.
Well, I don't get it. The guy had 3% body fat.
Yeah.
He swam on the relay, swam the anchor leg, which, by the way, they shouldn't call when you're doing the swimming.
Anchor is an appropriate term here because he was
strong as an ox.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he
didn't drink.
He had an anchor leg.
He wasn't a drinker. He never touched alcohol.
The third leg, as they call it, was anchored.
I don't understand.
And
I understand how a guy like that could drown. They fall off a boat or something?
Nope, just in a pool, shallow end.
The guy went to state 2 years in a row.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. just one of those things. He fell in the shallow end. He was not focused. And he didn't.
See how this is going to go?
Yeah, very. It's
see,
good,
where suicide's
right.
Just suicide. Oh, my God. And then somebody, there'll be somebody who's experienced the same thing. Somebody will go, my best friend's son committed suicide 3 months ago. So I know exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'll have company.
You can join a support group, and other people will not blame you, and they'll understand.
You with your cocker in Davy Jones' locker, it's not going to, you're going to get a lot of questions. A lot of, huh? What do you mean, stretching?
A lot of whispering, a lot of, and, did he have a
by
really
the way,
small
and
one?
When people can't figure out things with your cock, they go gay. So he was gay? Because immediately go, there's a weird gay man.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we can't figure out what you're doing with your cock, it's in another guy's
ass.
They
found him with the porn Happy Gaze, to which you referred earlier.
Oh, Teresa Strasser. See, this is why we're such an awesome team. Let me tell you something. Let me be honest with you. We were in Napa last week, and Teresa and I were having our lively conversation as per usual. And when we got back to the hotel room, or maybe it was the next day, my wife said to me, "You know what you should do. You know it would be awesome because you know I'm out of a gig and I'm open to anything." And my wife said, "You, Teresa, and Dr. Drew, that would make an awesome morning show. And not radio, but like a TV show. You know, good morning, whatever. You know, like, you know, listen, Regis and Kelly, they're fine.
They're okay.
They're serviceable. But me, you, and Drew?
Wow.
Wow. You talking about the pregnant shit, him doing the doctor and stuff?
No, I'm going to be a lot more valuable when I have my baby like Kelly Ripa and Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yeah, me being the bad boy. Yeah, you got to be funnier than the fucking View? Give me a fucking break.
This could be good.
All right, so I'm thinking to myself, you know what? That's kind of a funny idea. That'd be a good syndicated. So I called my agent James Baby Doll Dixon.
He said Teresa who?
And I was like, Baby Doll, Lynette had an idea. It sounds a little crazy, but actually, I think it could be interesting. Syndicated morning TV. Me, Dr. Drew, and Teresa Strasser. And he said, baby, they only do those shows with celebrities. They need names. They need, you know, they only do those shows with, like, you know, just, you know, big names. Mm,
Bonnie
celebrities.
Hunt,
celebrities.
Tyra.
Yeah, and I was like, thanks. By the way, I didn't bother defending myself, but I said, you know, Dr. Drew's an actually, you know, he's...
He's got like pretty, a million followers on Twitter.
When Larry King, you know, has to take a nap, you know, Dr. Drew comes in. It's a celebrity baby. The only, she only agent in the world who explains to his client that they don't do those shows. They need celebrities with those shows. And I'm like, really, really, the J.O. who wrote, he's really not that into you. He's just not that into you.
Greg Behrens.
He's a household name? Or sort of...
Or was Ricky Lake or Jenny Jones?
Or saucy, busty, black chick du jour is... And her name literally is named du jour Jackson?
D'.
Right. That chick's a household name, or whoever they have on, you know, whoever's on Channel 13 at 11 o'clock, that's a household name?
Jesus. Yeah, I think Lynette could be onto something. I mean, when we had Dr. Drew on the last time, it was pretty amazing because at one point he was accusing you of being a compulsive onanist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a masturbator. Mm-hmm. Apparently, mm-hmm. as some, from some biblical term. But mm-hmm. he was kind of serious, and then it was making you a little bit uncomfortable.
He does that shit all the time.
And then, for some reason, then you guys turned on me, and then I got uncomfortable, and I tried to turn it back on you. But it was kind of a good dynamic.
He's good in that setting. You're great in that setting. And then there's moi. So it would be awesome if we could just get George Clooney to sign.
I was thinking to myself,
oh, yeah, there's sure, because you always turn on Fox at 10:30 in the morning, and there's Al Pacino and Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro going, all right, we're back. Right. We got a cooking segment coming up.
Yeah, Meryl Streep's going to give you tips to stay cool in summer.
That's right. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, all right. Just your own agent shouldn't tell you they need celebrities.
I think he might have been saying that you needed a bigger name when it came to the female counterpart.
No. It wouldn't have hurt, but no, that's there were two. Okay.
What's Cameron Diaz doing? Can you get her?
Not syndicated morning shows.
And now some Strasser resin back in 2009. Although according to Dawson, we don't care about resin anymore. So
his lung butter in the parking lot begs to differ.
It really, really does. All right, that'll do it for part one of today's episode. But stick around, part two coming up next.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.